Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gathered the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you this morning. We're going to talk about missions. And so I've entitled the title of today's message, Why Missions? Why do people go to the remote parts of the earth? Why do people leave their home, the comfort of their home, and go to places that they're unfamiliar with and places where they don't know the language and places they don't know the food or the culture? And I would tell you, brothers and sisters, that this is the highest calling for all of us. It's the highest calling for you, is to leave your home, leave your place of work, or go to a place where people don't know you, where people don't know the Word of God, where people don't know anything about the gospel, maybe, and to reach out to them and to touch them and to speak the words of God over them, and how the Lord loves them and how He died for them. And so this is a very high calling. Many of you know that I'm in Africa at this time as you hear this message. We're in the midst of a series of meetings in the Nairobi area with university students, and God has just opened up an amazing door there with university students to start off with an all-night Keisha on Friday night. And we had a wonderful time of praise and worship, an all-night Keisha where we preached and praised the Lord and danced and worshiped. And so when the Lord puts a call on your life, when the Lord speaks to you about taking the word, the gospel to the nations and preaching, He blesses you. He will open up the doors for you. He will provide for you, and He will bless you in ways that you never imagined. And so we're going to look at some scriptural teaching today, a little bit of a scriptural commandment, you might say, on the reasons for missions. And, you know, many people have said, well, why is it necessary to go clear over there to Africa? Or why is it necessary to go to Asia or to India or even to Mexico? You know, what's the purpose of that? What does that accomplish? There's many, many people here in the United States that don't know the Lord. There's many people that haven't heard the gospel or never really heard it in depth, explained to them how God loved them and sent His Son Jesus to die for them. And so there's a lot of confusion. There's a lot of people who are asking questions about why put yourself in that danger? Why put yourself in that prospect of getting sick or maybe getting involved with some kind of terrorist activity or whatever? Many possibilities of things that could happen. But, you know, brother and sister, when you're doing the call of the Lord, when you're in His will, when you're in God's will, you can be right in the center of His will, and that is the very safest place for you to be. It is the safest place because God will protect you. He is able to keep you and protect you, and His angels have charge over you. And so as you step out in faith and do what God calls you to do, as you step out in faith and believe for those higher things of the kingdom, you just have to trust the Lord that He is going to take care of you, that He's going to watch out for you, that His angels will be guarding you. And as you do that, brothers and sisters, you will be affecting the destiny of nations, of tribes and tongues, of people, of your own destiny, of your own family. And so I just thank the Lord that God has opened the doors for this mission and for the provision for it. And I thank the Lord that He is faithful and true to see it come to pass. Well, in Matthew chapter 18, if you have your Bible there today, turn it to Matthew chapter 18. We're going to start in verse 18. And this is the scriptural commandment that all missions are hinged upon this and built upon this foundation. And Jesus was talking to the disciples before He ascended into heaven. And in verse 18, it says, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And so this is the key scripture, brother and sister. Jesus says, go to all the nations and make disciples of all the people there. And as you go, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So we call this the Great Commission because Jesus commissioned not just those disciples, not just those people, the apostles who were standing in front of him, but he also commissions you and me, even though we live 2,000 years later. We're also commissioned by these same words and by the same authority that Jesus Christ gave the disciples, the very same authority that they were given, we're given, and the very same commandment, the very same instruction, the very same commission, we're given that as well. And so we can't just, as believers, and I'm speaking to believers here, if you are a born-again believer in Jesus Christ as your Lord, you can't just sit there and soak up another good sermon week after week after week and go home and hang up your Sunday clothes and say, that's it, that's all I'm going to do for the kingdom. Well, you can do that, but you're going to pay a price for it because God wants to take you and he wants to use you. And if he didn't want to use you, I suppose he would just take us all off this earth as soon as we get saved. There would be no more purpose or function for us here on this earth. And so there would be no reason for God not to just take us off the earth as soon as we're saved. But God, then what he really wants us to do, he wants us to get in the battle. He wants us to put on the gospel armor and go into all the nations, just as Jesus Christ commanded the disciples. He said, go into all the nations and baptize them in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit. And then he said, and teach them to observe all the things that I have commanded you. And lo, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. And so we're to preach to those in near lands, in the prison, or in the radio broadcast, or in the near land, that is this city and this region, this area, this state. But then we're to go to the nations of the tribes and tongues and the nations all across the earth and teach them about Jesus Christ, teach them to be disciples, teach them and equip them so that then they can go out and they can take the good news, they can take the gospel to their region, to their tribe, to their tongue, to their nation, and maybe even come back to the United States and preach to us here because God knows we need preaching to, God knows we need saved, and maybe they can send some missionaries out from their distant lands to come here and give us a different perspective on the gospel and a different worldview coming from somebody else's point of view. And so as we teach them to observe all the things that Jesus commanded, and he says he will be with us even to the end of the age. Well, that's very comforting, brothers and sisters. If you're making plans such as going to another nation, whether it's Mexico or Canada or maybe down to Central America or India, Asia, Africa, wherever, Jesus says, I will be with you. I will be with you. You're not going out on your own. You're not striking out on your own. And I've traveled in Africa by myself several times and flown over there by myself several times. Couldn't get anybody else to go, but that's okay because the Holy Spirit was with me. And Jesus Christ says, I'll be with you even to the end of the age. And so when you're doing the work of the Lord, you know without any doubt, you know without any uncertainty that he is with you and that his angels guard you and they will not allow your foot to strike against a stone. I could tell you many stories of how angels have guarded me, and I could tell you stories of how the Lord has protected me in ways that I'm sure I don't even know myself. I've probably was saved from perilous situations and dangerous situations. That's not to say that some people don't die on mission trips or don't give up their life on mission trips, but that's God's will for that point in time and that hour. That is God's will. And they might have done less and maybe died in a locale close to their home as well. That's very possible. None of us knows what our last hour, our last day, our last mission here on this earth is. Many people think they're going to live to be 80 or 90 years old. That's very common in the United States, but they don't live that long. Maybe within a short time they pass away, or a short time an accident happens. There was 3,000 people expired there that day on 9/11 back in 2001, and so you don't know when your last day is going to be. Wouldn't you rather spend your last day serving the Lord? Wouldn't you rather spend your last day doing service and work for the Lord? What a great way to go out. What a great way to be blessed by the Lord, is doing His work when He calls you home. Well, in the Gospel of Mark, we have another version of the same meeting with Jesus and His disciples before Jesus ascended to heaven. And we take it up in chapter 16 of Mark, in verse 14, and it says, "Later Jesus appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and He rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had seen Him after He had risen. And He said to them," and this is basically a corollary or a very similar to the version we saw in Matthew 28, He said in verse 15 here, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In My name they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues, and they will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." And so then, after the Lord had spoken to them, He was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And verse 20 concludes the book of Mark, "And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Amen." And so Jesus says that if you go and if you do My work, and if you go and preach, He says you will have the authority, and I'm commanding you or commissioning you to go into all the world and to preach the gospel to every creature. And then He says, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." And this is a corollary to John 3:16, which we all know, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." And then it goes on in John 3:19 to say that if you believe, then the condemnation is taken off of you. But if you do not believe, then you are condemned. You're already judged, because the judgment of God is on you because you refuse to believe in Jesus Christ, and you refuse to believe the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. You refused to believe that God sent His Son Jesus to die for you, and therefore you are judged guilty. You are judged a sinner and an unrepentant sinner, and you are judged guilty, and therefore you are condemned. But for those who believe and are baptized, He says, you will be saved. And then He said there's going to be some characteristics of people who call themselves born again, of people who call themselves by My name. He says, "In My name, they will cast out demons." In other words, Jesus says they're going to have the power and the authority to cast out demons. They're going to have the authority to destroy the works of the devil. Just like Jesus said, "I came to destroy the works of the devil. I came not to be served, but I came to serve." And so as He destroyed the works of the devil, He destroyed the work of the devil on the cross. He destroyed the work of the devil when He was resurrected again. And so Jesus Christ said, as you accept Me, as you are born again, then you will also have the power to cast out demons, not only out of yourself, but out of other people. And then He said they will speak with new tongues. Well, this speaks of a couple of different things, I believe. It speaks of the gift of tongues that comes with the Holy Spirit. The witness of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is that people then speak with a new tongue, many of them. Some don't, but many do. And this tongue is a language given of one of the supernatural gifts of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12, 8 and 9, gift of tongues and the gift of interpretation of tongues. And he says those that receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it happened to the Jews. In the second chapter of Acts, they received a baptism and they began to speak in tongues. It happened to the Gentiles. In the 10th chapter of Acts, with the family of Cornelius, and they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in tongues. And it also happened in Acts 19, where the brothers at Ephesus had been already baptized in John's baptism, and Paul said, "Into which baptism were you baptized?" And they said, "Into John's," and he said, "Well, there's a Holy Spirit, and there's the baptism of Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit then will baptize you." And when he spoke to them about that, and he laid his hands on them and prayed for them, then they also received the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And that's in Acts 19. You can read that for yourself and look that up. And so the new tongues speaks of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It also speaks of God will give you a new heart. When you are born again, he'll give you a new heart, and he'll give you a desire to speak his word, his message. He'll give you joy in your heart. He'll give you the tongue of praising him, the tongue of a new song in your heart, and you will be able to then witness and testify of what Jesus Christ has done for you and what has happened in your life and what has taken place in your life. And verse 18, these things are a bit controversial, but it says they will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. Well, Jesus was basically saying that he was going to guard you with his angels. And he said then, to wrap up verse 18, they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. And so the power, the same power that Jesus had, that resurrection power of signs and wonders and miracles, that same power that Paul had and that Peter had to raise the dead and to lay hands on the sick, that very same power that Jesus, when he went out into the multitudes, he touched the multitudes with his hands and he prayed for them, and they were healed of their blindness, they were healed of their lameness and their deafness, and many miracles were wrought by Jesus Christ, by his hands, by him speaking over people, by him laying hands on people. And that very same power, he says, you will have, that when they lay hands on the sick, they will recover. And so then after that, the Lord had spoken to them. He was received up into heaven, and he sat down at the right hand of God. Well, I'm going to close with the scripture in Acts 13, the great missionary sending of Paul and Barnabas. And we see here in Acts 13, there's a bunch of brothers, a group of brothers that are gathered in Antioch, and they're gathered there to seek the Lord's will, to seek counsel from the Holy Spirit and direction. And it says here in verse 1, Acts 13, now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers: Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod and the Tetrarch, and Saul, or who we came to know as Paul. And verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. And then having fasted and prayed, they laid hands on them, and they sent them away. And so Paul and Barnabas, being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Cilicia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. And they arrived in Salamis. They preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they also had John as their assistant. So there was three of them going. They headed out from Antioch, and they ended up in some of the Greek Isles and Cyprus, and on. Paul eventually went on over into Macedonia and to Rome. And so The first great missionary journey there was Paul and Barnabas, and assistant was John. And God sent them. He guarded them. They planted the gospel in many places, in churches all over that part of the world, in Asia, Turkey, Greece, and Rome, in Italy. And so we do the same today. And God is sending out missionaries. He's sending out missionaries. He's equipping them. He's training them. He's providing for them. And he wants to do the same for you, brother and sister. There's some people out there listening today. You may have a call on your life. You may have a call of an evangelist or an apostle or a prophet, a pastor, a teacher. Maybe God wants to move you out of your comfort zone. Maybe God wants to move you from your place of residence and send you to a far off land. Or maybe he just wants to send you to the next town or wherever. But when you receive that call, the highest call that you can receive is the apostolic calling, to be the sent one, to go out and to spread the good news, to tell others that Jesus Christ died for their sins, to tell others that Jesus loves them and God loves them very, very much, to tell others that there's hope for them, that there's a purpose and a plan for their life, and God has a hope for them that does not disappoint. When you put your trust in him, you will not be disappointed. And so we just thank the Lord for the opportunity to serve the Lord. I thank the Lord for the opportunity to share the good news that Jesus saves, the hope for all mankind, with the brothers and sisters in Africa, and just to encourage them in their walk, to strengthen them in their walk, and to see the blessings that God has for them come to pass in their life this day and in this hour. Well, I thank you for your prayers. Keep the Africa mission lifted up in prayer. Keep my team, there's three of us, lifted up in prayer. And I just praise the Lord for this opportunity to share with you today. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.